Okay, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Let's call this Thursday, November 10th, 2016 meeting of the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority to order. Ms. Spear, would you please call the roll?
Chairman Noe.
Here.
Chair Randall.
Here.
Chairman Bulova.
Here.
Board Member Fassett.
Here.
Mayor Silverberg. Mayor Parrish.
Here.
Mayor Stombrace.
Here.
Council Member Snyder. Mayor-elect Rochelle.
Here.
Senator Black.
Here.
Delegate Hugo. Delegate Minshew. Ms. Hines.
Here.
Mr. Cole.
Here.
Mayor Foreman. Ms. Cuervo.
Here.
Mr. Horsley.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you. So, Ms. Spear set me up perfectly for what I was going to say next. First of all, let me first congratulate Landslide Hal.
It's good to have it behind us.
Yeah,
for a lot of reasons.
I was worried about Michigan and Wisconsin there, but he pulled it out. And congratulations to the new mayor-elect. Longtime member of this group, but the new mayor-elect, and that's the part, you know, Rachel. That said, our first item on the agenda of business is the minutes of the October 13th meeting. Any additions, subtractions, questions?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move approval.
Motion from Mrs. Bulova, second from Senator Black. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We have five items on consent agenda. Any of those need to be pulled or call for questions? We have a motion.
So moved. Second.
Sorry.
Motion by Ms. Randall, second by Mrs. Bulova. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? They're already the nine. Fast. Okay. Legislative Services Contract, Mayor Parrish.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Inasmuch as our Chief Financial Officer suggested that he might speak to this, I'm going to go ahead and call on him. But I will tell the authority that the Finance Committee took this up and decided to move forward based upon ultimate recommendations from the staff with their additional staff work. Now, I didn't want to talk too much about it, so Mr. Long is going to fill us in on the details. Great staff work, by the way, everyone.
Thank you, Mayor Parrish. As background, the authority appropriated $60,000 in the FY17 operating budget for legislative services. This was an open procurement. It was placed on the MBTA website. It was listed with EBA to get broad circulation. We had 13 firms expressing an interest in the procurement. Seven firms actually submitted proposals. Five of those proposals were deemed to be responsive and responsible. We had an evaluation team that was comprised of the MBTA's executive director, legislative and intergovernmental affairs directors from Prince William, Alexandria, and Arlington, and the Fairfax County Legislative Department of Transportation legislative liaison, as well as the CFO, were on the evaluation team. Based on the evaluations and the proposals, three firms were selected to enter into final negotiations, best and final offers. The conclusion was unanimous that the award should go to the McGuire Woods Consulting Firm. And with that, the Finance Committee had a briefing on it at their last meeting, and it's here today for authority approval.
And, Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the proposed legislative service agreement with McGuire Woods Consulting.
Second.
Mr. Chairman, that's just one question. And the this will basically be a lobbying firm? Is this the gist of what we're doing?
Legislative advisory services. I mean, the principal activity would be monitoring activities in the General Assembly, so that especially the protection of HB 2313 from any surprising legislation that could accidentally modify it.
And it would also help Chairman Noe. In the past, the authority has authorized Chairman Noe to go to Richmond and speak on behalf of legislation that could impact the authority. And I know he owns his own business, but it does get taxing, and we will have someone there with their ear to the ground just to make sure that there are no things that are detrimental to us. And, of course, working with our General Assembly members and the rest of the jurisdictions.
Any other questions?
One. I will, support the motion, but, when I've talked to my General Assembly members, people I know. I've only heard a very positive reaction to HB 2313. Are we hearing any rumblings about HB 2313 or any encroachment on it or anything?
You know, I'll just respond. I mean, we obviously, we had a phenomenal dispute over it. We settled that. And then the only thing I know of that has come up since then is we had a contingency in that bill. And correct me if I'm getting mixed up, but I think I am getting mixed up with Bob McDonald's bill with the contingency on the gas tax. There was
an issue that didn't affect us so much dealing with the internet sales tax piece, for example.
Yes, that's the one I'm thinking. But that was a different piece of legislation. Yes.
I think what we do is I don't think there's any. We haven't heard of any meaningful attempts to repeal 2313. I think that the issue that we deal with is. There's a lot of, we the authority, we now suddenly attract a lot of attention. And there's a lot of nibbling around the edges. And I'll just give a couple of examples. In the last legislative session, I made trips down to Richmond. The big one was something that would have changed our voting structure. It was a movement to add additional voting members. Of course, you know, no one wanted to vote when there was no money, and now everyone wants to vote. I had to go to a number of committee meetings and such to talk about our opposition to changing our voting structure. Another one that was prominent was legislation that would allow us to use regional funds to pay for facilities that are pedestrian only, essentially. Encouraging us to set aside a sidewalk fund, which is
not
in the spirit of why we exist. But I get it, because as a district supervisor who has a lot of requests for sidewalks in my district, I'd love to have another pot of money to go to. But these are things that it's the ability to go down. The challenge is the constant need to go down and say, please don't mess with us. For the most part, our legislative position over the last couple of years. And we'll talk about this more later, has been just leave it alone. Let the paint dry on the wall. We're doing a good job.
Okay.
But no one seems to want to just leave us alone.
It's such a good story. I'm not kidding. Such a good story to tell.
But I will say, 2313 seems to be a done issue, and the controversy has long passed now. So I think it's, like you say, there may be nibbling around the edges, but... it's minor stuff, the kind of tweaking you have with any kind of legislation.
Okay. And I'll say that, to be fair, there was actually a piece of legislation passed last year or the year before, Delegate Lemunyan's bill, that did some things to our benefit. I think it was 2 years ago. We had the bill that said that, essentially, if a jurisdiction removes a road from its comp plan, that doesn't mean we have to remove it from the regional plan. Which is a big deal because sometimes jurisdictions do remove roads, but
really,
I can think of one notable example.
But
the notion that we would have to spend tens, if not possibly over $100,000, on consultant services to amend our regional plan based on the act of a local board, boy, that's a huge help to us. You know, well, let's hope it's never a hope. Let's hope that it just doesn't become an issue. But it's the kind. So there's stuff going on. Some of it's good. Most of it's troubling, but I think if we were looking at an attack on 2313, we would need to go full blown lobbyist mode. But we're not in that sort of setting.
Thank you.
So,
good questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good questions.
Any other questions on this? We have a motion from Mr. Parrish and a second from someone. Second from Ms. Hines. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And with that said, Ms. Boehner, do you want to introduce yourself to everybody?
Hi, I'm Tracy Boehner from Warwick Consulting. I'll be the lead on this contract. I want to thank you very much for your faith in us, and we look forward to working with the authority over the next year.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is the appointment of a nominating committee, and I will be reappointing for the nominating committee Chairman Bulova and Mayor Parrish once again for that role. I didn't ask them in advance, but the best way to get someone onto a committee is to announce it. and we have Adoption, item 11, item adoption of the 2017 meeting schedule, Ms. Backman.
Mr. Chairman, in short, I'm proposing the same meeting schedule as you had this year for calendar year 2017, which would be the second Thursday of the month at 7 p.m., except August and December. No meeting in August and your December meeting, because I believe the NBRC, due to the Christmas holiday, will also hold their meeting the second Thursday. The time would be 6 p.m. instead of the 7 p.m. time.
Let me ask a question on that. What last year, when that was our regular schedule, us at 6 and them at 7:30, Supervisor Gross was just sticking her head in here and waving her fist at me, telling me how to finish the meeting. Do we have our plan of work for the next year spelled out enough to know what we're going to be doing next December?
Well, primarily, it will be transaction-related and just advancing the projects that you previously funded. But that's more on the lines of staff just updating you on the project.
We're not anticipating adoption of transaction or anything big like that.
Yes, we are around this time next year.
So
before December, so...
I'm sorry, Chairman.
Because my question is, I don't want to have something that's going to be a three-hour discussion on a night when we need
it. It will not be December. We're looking at October of 2017.
Oh, we're fine.
And you will have the adoption probably for the legislative package.
Yes.
And at the December meeting.
Okay. Yes. Excellent. We have any questions on this item? Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Bulma, seconded by Ms. Randall. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, discussion items. Flying tonight. I promise there's really important stuff. We do really need to have it. Some of the stuff is really time critical. We needed to have this meeting, I promise. Ms. Hines.
Thank you, Chairman Noe. The Legislative and Personnel Committee has had two meetings to work this over. We had the advantage of Ms. Baird's advice the second time. She gave it a look, too, so that's why she's sitting at the table in case people have questions. I would say the major positions of the authority are not changed. The look of this is different. The old one had many more words in it, and it was also somewhat difficult to find the position. And so we've reformatted it so that the position is clear. You can scan and kind of find them if you're a legislator and wanting to check carefully. So I don't think it's, I would not think we need to spend time going through it, Chairman Nolan, bit by bit, but certainly willing to answer any questions. Mr. Snyder was also a member of our committee, as well as you, and of course, Delegate Minshew. So it's you and I and the staff will have to answer questions.
Any questions for Ms. Hines?
I have a question. It may be actually more for Mr. Cassette. Hi.
That sounds acceptable.
The statement on the Washington Metropolitan Air Transit Authority, WMATA, as far as supporting Metro, do you think that statement is, that section is worded strongly
the
enough?
Safety section.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's worded strongly enough? I think it's a little...
You'd like to see it strongly?
I would.
Okay.
That doesn't mean I have verbiage to give to you.
Okay.
I'm asking Mr. Fassett because he is chair of MBTC.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember, actually, Kate is here with us today, but what the language would have been.
I was going to say, it's fairly consistent with what's here. We work,
this
is consistent.
Yeah.
In the support of the Metro Safety Commission is in here with what they say.
Yeah.
Same verbiage?
We think it's
close,
fairly close, right?
That's
yeah.
What I was trying to
wonder if it was. Any other questions on this? So I'll ask a process question. You're expecting this to come back to us in December for
we'll
adoption?
We'll vote in December.
Okay.
And then when is, usually, I guess, is it in January that we usually get sort of a list of pre-filed bills that could affect us?
Yes.
So I guess what I would ask of... I'm on the committee, but what I'll ask you of the committee is, last year, during your interregnum there, on the committee, you got to miss the meeting where we spent 2 hours going bill by bill.
Seriously?
Yeah. Let's try that in this group. We need to schedule a time to pre-review those to make this meeting much shorter.
Okay. We'll look to find a date.
There were a few hot ticket issues, is why it took so long.
And you are going to give me a fifth number.
I was going to do that during chance.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Better unilaterally put ourselves out. He might announce that it's us. I haven't heard that I've been disappointed anything.
So, okay.
We'll,
I've been trying to keep it easy on you.
Yeah.
It's
best for everybody.
I want to set the bar low for you, Steve.
I really succeed in an environment of low expectations.
Okay, so thank you. Next item, Planning and Programming Committee report. There's a written report.
If I could just say one other thing.
Yes.
So if anybody takes this back and you've got heartburn on this, I would ask that you please communicate that to us in advance of the December meeting, so that if we have to work any language out or figure anything out, I really don't want to be wordsmithing while we're trying to adopt them in December. So please.
There's a written report for the PPC committee here. We've been reviewing evaluation criteria for transaction. Again, it's all in there in the report. Their foreman, I don't believe, is here. Reporting on the PPC, do we have anything we need to know coming out of that committee?
There is a written report from the PCAC in your packet, and I do want to note that that committee is meeting next Thursday evening at 6:30, where they're expected to take action on the additional performance measures. At their last meeting, we had a great turnout. It was 10 out of 14 members for 2.5 hours who discussed performance measures. So at the meeting next week, they are expected to take action on the remaining performance measures for recommendation to this authority.
I know that Mr. Boyce isn't here because he's coaching football tonight. And my daughter is on the cheer squad. But anything from technical advisory meeting?
Same. The report is in your packet. They are actually meeting next Wednesday, and they will make a recommendation on the performance measures. Both recommendations from the TAC and the PCAC will be shared with the Planning and Programming Committee prior to coming to the authority.
Okay. So, Director's report.
Mr. Chairman, just to be brief, I did want to draw your attention to two things in my report. The public engagement activities, as you are aware, we're undertaking our second round of public engagement for transaction. We've developed an online survey to learn how Northern Virginia think on different ways of prioritizing to address broad transportation needs. As of 6:30 p.m., we have approximately 1,700 responses. So I do want to thank you, the members. I see that a lot of you are putting them in your reports, online survey information and things like that, your mail out to constituents. We have noticed from the consultants, they said every time we do something on social media, there is a spike in the responses to the survey. So thank you for that. We also held a workshop for members in the business community on Tuesday, October 25th, to get some of the business community and stakeholder views regarding prioritization. And we're holding focus groups. We held one last night. We're holding one tonight, actually, to just try to get that level of detail. I do want to note, last year we did a benchmark survey. It was pretty high level. What do you know about the authority? What do you think we should do? We are preparing to do a follow-up, so hopefully we've moved the needle a bit because we've really been trying to do a lot of public engagement. I've informed my staff and the consultants that public engagement is continuous. It's not just when we have a draft program or anything like that. So we'll be delighted to bring those results back to you. If any of you would need the link, mbtatransaction.org, that is the website, the survey is on there. If you need to send it to your constituents and you need more information, please let us know. The survey actually closes on Monday, November the 28th. Second thing that I'd like to draw your attention to, and it's actually a follow-up from the email that I sent the members regarding the governor's announcement last Tuesday about the I-66 outside the Beltway project. Last Thursday, the governor did announce that the Express Mobility Partners was the the team that was selected to do the I-66 outside the Beltway project. As you know, as part of your 2017 program that you adopted in July, you did fund the I-66 at Route 28 interchange at $300 million. So I've been getting a lot of questions, and people are saying, what are you going to do with this $300 million? Well, number one, it's not $300 million. You had approximately $266.7 million available in PAYGO revenues. Then you funded, your total funding program was $466 million. So that left $200 million that you would have to bond fund. The interchange you adopted was a total amount of $300 million. So doing the math, that leaves $100 million of unprogrammed money. Now, when I sent the email, I did state that either at the time of commercial close or total project close, MBTA staff will work with finance and come to you with a recommendation on withdrawing that project and putting the money towards back into the regional revenue fund so it can be used for the fiscal year 2018-2023 first six-year program. I have talked to Deputy Secretary Donahue. Of course, the state would like that we do nothing right now because they want to make sure that they do reach these financial closes. And we also told everyone that this interchange is a standalone project. It can advance regardless of what happens or what goes on with the I-66 outside the Beltway project. So I did want to note that. So it's approximately $100 million, not $300, but $100 million in available PAYGO revenues that if the state reaches financial close and the Express Mobility partners do fund the project entirely because they're saying no public monies are needed, which means that $300 million that the state was bringing forth has been freed up and the governor said will be used for this round of the smart scale process. So they will add that into the pot, but there is no public monies to be used. So at a point in time, commercial close, they're looking at next month in December, and then they're looking at a total close in July of next year.
Mr. Chairman, just a thought. Let me just say it this way. I support the staff's recommendation that we, at this time, do nothing. I don't know whether you need any sort of action.
I don't know, to maintain the status quo.
To do nothing. I concur. I agree. So we'll know financially the closure is in December, but then we'll know
totally
and
close out
in summer,
July.
July. So you never know what could happen, and I just be on the safe side, the prudent side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's make sure we.
It may provide the state with some additional negotiating assistance.
So something that the secretary said explicitly was that they are, from a contract and I guess legal perspective, the public option. That kind of has taken on a connotation I want to use right now. The publicly funded alternative, the notion that the state would build a toll road, is still on the table. This project still has to compete against the notion that if it turns out there's a piece of the puzzle that we didn't recognize is problematic and they have to pull the plug on it, there's still the option of the state moving forward on it, which I believe is why, Helen, you may know better than I, the state is also not anticipating deobligating their $300 million until the end of the line. Is that right?
Yeah, I would assume the six-year plan will stay as it is. We don't amend it normally. And so I would presume we'll wait till next summer.
What they've said is that the money, any additional money, would likely be available for our smart scale distribution. And what is that, July?
Mm-hmm.
So that timing all sort of seems to align.
So I've got a couple of issues that I'd like to, maybe we could send a letter to the secretary or to whomever. Maybe someone can advise the right person. A couple of things, that just questions that have come up that I think that would be good for the authority to have some feedback on. If I could, and please, Adam, just chime in if you have some other things. First question that came up a lot was, so I think we understand that the $300 million that the state had dedicated out of Smart Scale to this project will the assumption is it will become available to the Commonwealth again next year and can be programmed in the next round of Smart Scale. I guess the first concern I have is what we have been hearing up until last Thursday was that Northern Virginia received the largest amount of funds out of Smart Scale on the last round because of this $300 million. In fact, it was about half of all the money. If you take this $300 million out of Smart Scale, I suspect that Northern Virginia has now not received the largest amount of funding out of the last round of Smart Scale. And the General Assembly was very clear in HB 2313 that the fact that there is now regional funds available for transportation to the authority shall not be translated into a reduction of statewide funds being made available. So I'd like to get some feedback on, and there's, this way, Ms. Boehner can come up with a much more diplomatic way to ask, how am I going to get my $300 million back for some other project? Because right now, we're really getting shortchanged from the state. If we, you know, I feel like if we had known that there was not going to be a need for $300 million for the state for this project, our region may have requested some different big project in the last round of Smart Scale that probably would have gotten funded. And I think, you know, for me, our biggest our biggest lobbying function of this body nowadays is less to do with laws that affect us and more about making sure Northern Virginia doesn't lose its fair share of the state money. And then the second piece of that is this, if I may, there is $500 million that's coming to the state up front from the concessionaire. Now, I've been told by the Deputy Secretary that that money does not go through Smart Scale. It has to go into a special fund that is just for improvements to the 66 corridor. That's great. We don't know what it'll fund yet. So my first thing is, it seems to me that it would be, well, I'll ask if Ms. Hines or Ms. Cuervo, do we know yet, I can't imagine we do, how the state plans to determine how to allocate that $500 million?
I was with the secretary on Tuesday, and all he kept saying is Northern Virginians are going to be happy on Thursday.
I was. What time was the press conference? Was it at 2?
2:30.
At 1:30, I was there after you, and I finally he's just, I promise you, you'd be happy. Now I can tell you why. I don't imagine they have a process for the $500 million. I think we should be part of it. Because going back to my concern about the $300 million, presumably that money will be used to fund projects, which if they weren't funded out of the $500 million, would have been projects we would request out of Smart Scale. If the net result is that the same projects get funded, but they only get funded out of the $500 million and don't get funded out of the Smart Scale, we are again at risk for getting less than Northern Virginia's fair share of the Smart Scale funds. Neither of those issues is directly connected to the section of 2313 that says we shouldn't lose out, because that's, it's talking about a very specific amount of funds there. But I know, but if you ask Delegate Albo, he will tell you the spirit of that language was that we never get short shrift. And I think there's, and I'm not saying that it will happen, it's just there's, it's really easy to forget that fact and say, well, you got all this stuff, right? But we didn't get it out of, but we got this stuff out of pots of money that are Northern Virginians' money. Because bluntly, not the $300 million, the $500 million isn't current state revenues. It's future toll revenues is what that money is. And those tolls will be paid almost entirely by Northern Virginia residents. So that was a lot of feedback there. But those are my two big issues, or my three big issues. I feel like there was something else. Did we talk about something else? Oh, I have one more. I got asked by a reporter who agreed politely to just pretend he hadn't asked the question because I didn't have an answer. Could the $500 million be used to buy down the cost of the tolls? These are questions that inquiring minds want to know. If anyone dislikes those questions, we don't have to ask them, but I think they're, I'm sure there's good answers to all of them. I just don't know what they are.
That is an interesting question. Is that what she asked you?
It was he, but he, I said, wow, I only got this news 18 hours ago. Why are you calling me already? It was Friday morning that I got the call. I was like, I don't know. I watched the same press conference you watched.
The only understanding
please.
I have is the $500 million, it has to benefit the corridor.
Right.
So, I mean, clearly it's, you know, that the benefiting those users who are on 66.
No, and I understand that. And I'll just use this as an example. And it's an easy one that may not be an appropriate one. If we took some of that money and used it to make improvements to Route 28, that's in the corridor. It's a perfect. That might be a thing that the state could decide to do with that money. But if then the outcome is that Route 28 doesn't need any money from Smart Scale because it got money out of the $500 million, and therefore it becomes possible to fund projects in Bristol and Danville and Salem districts, we just kind of lost out because we used the toll money to fix Northern Virginia's problems, and we used Northern Virginia's share of Smart Scale to fix someone else's problems. And again, I don't think there's any conspiracy. I'm not suggesting there's any conspiracy. I just think we have a responsibility to make sure that...
That was definitely not the intent of the legislation.
Right. Or the intent of this toll project.
No, it wasn't
right.
The intent of the toll. I don't think anybody anticipated this particular deal that came.
I guarantee you that there are... People, I believe the HRTAC is meeting right now also, and I guarantee you they're sitting there and they're going, fantastic, they got 500, they got an extra $800 million we can play with now, let's go get some of it. That's the catch, is that I don't believe anyone in the administration or anyone in the General Assembly was out trying to move money around. There are absolutely people somewhere in this Commonwealth trying to, outside of Northern Virginia, trying to figure out how to get a finger into the pie. And that's okay, but we got to watch ourselves too.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, so that's all. I probably sounded more confrontational in my tone of voice. I've had a lot of good feedback.
Mr. Noe, that's all a good discussion, and we need to stay on topic.
And I think the answer, some of these there probably are already legal answers in place, but it goes back to the original point of however these decisions are made, I think that because some of this, the $500 million isn't going to go through Smart Scale, it can't. Make it through a similar process, we should be part of that discussion. Because the other spirit of 2313, as it applies to us, was the notion that let Northern Virginians decide what Northern Virginian problems can get fixed. So.
I would also note, you know, we have our six-year plan town hall meeting December 14th. It was changed from the 13th to the 14th now. So that's a good opportunity for people also to come and tell us their thoughts on the six-year plan and what they're interested in and what's important to the region. That also will be the Atlantic Gateway public hearing for this region as well.
Okay. The 14th is a Wednesday.
Yes, it is.
I have one other item as chairman's business. Thanks for the reminder, Ms. Hines. We have a vacancy on the Governance and Personnel Committee meeting. The next big action of that meeting, of that committee, Commission on Legislative Program, is Ms. Backman's review. And since Mr. Stromberg asked the question, I was frankly waiting to fill the empty seat on that committee, because the reason there's a vacancy is because of Mayor Silverthorne's resignation. So I was waiting to fill the vacancy until...
You're going to have a new mayor from the city of Fairfax in just a few months.
Well, that was my point. I was going to save the seat for the new mayor.
Yes.
That said,
second.
I'm not putting you on the spot. The great news is, before we had a governance and personnel committee, we had a personnel committee, which Mr. Mayor Parrish chaired. I've asked Mr. Parrish to serve as a member, not as chair,
temporarily,
as a temporary member of the governance and personnel committee to help us do Ms. Backman's review until such time as Fairfax is in the mayor. See how I did that for you?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, that said, is there any other... Yes?
Can I raise an issue?
Please.
Hopefully put it to rest. I just feel compelled to make amends for an issue where the last time we were together, something has occurred since then, and as you may all recall, this group, our executive director, was subjected to withering criticism for her public
pronouncement of her support for the Chicago Cubs, who have since won the World Series. I regret my role in the incident. I want to publicly apologize to you, and we look forward to the Cubs winning again in 21-24.
Thank you. I'll make two quick observations on that. Just, did you know that the distance between today and the last Cubs win is the same distance between the last Cubs win and Thomas Jefferson becoming president? My wife loves this stuff.
And we were going to put it to rest tonight.
This is great. But here's some of you may know Kurt Spears, assistant county attorney in Prince William County. Kurt Spears pointed out to me, there is still another streak that has to be considered. You know, it's been 108 years since the Cubs have won the World Series twice in a row.
Definitely will not put it to bed.
One other thing I'd just like to touch on, which sort of goes back to item 12. I was speaking with Mary Haynes here, and this also touches on Tracy, who I'm so pleased that you'll be working with us. You do such superb job, superb work, and work with you for many years, and have always been so impressed by the work that you've done. I think the legislation that was passed last year dealing with croppers had unintended consequences. And you know, I sort of look to your guidance to see what we can do to moderate that, whether we need to do a study as a preliminary or whether we need to simply make some alterations. But I will tell you that I will be very supportive of anything that we can do to moderate it. I don't want to repeal it, but I want to moderate it and bring it more in line with what we need in Northern Virginia, because we really have not, I don't think we've really strong-armed builders on proffers. I think it's sort of evolved into a culture that has worked for us, and it's just one of those things. So I look forward to working with both of you, and I'd be very receptive to anything that you can come up with that you think might sell within the legislature. And we, you know, I'd obviously need to have some people on the other side of the aisle who could join in with us and try to make this happen.
Can I just piggyback on what Senator Black, I'm a my state senator, but I'm about two blocks outside your district, but that's okay. I think maybe the more focused point as far as the proper law and how it might affect this body, how it might affect the authority, is that outside of certain certain density areas, developers can no longer proffer things like road interchanges, things like that, that may have a regional impact. And so it may be that localities may look to the authority to give to offer money or to find money for a road project that may have been completely or maybe partially proffered by a developer. And so that may be where that connection is, because developers are neither allowed nor can we ask them to proffer something like that. More money may be requested from the authority to proffer some of those real projects.
We will follow up.
Okay.
Any other business to come before the authority this evening? Thank you all very much. We're